I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How are you now? It's James Whelan, and you are listening to the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast. I am the Managing Director of Barclay Pierce Capital Wealth Management, I guess we're calling it, which is sort of still in limbo about what we're actually calling it. Anyway, again, another ham-fisted introduction to a podcast. I'm joined by Heath Moss, Principal of HLM Investments over from Adelaide. Mate, how are you now?
Very well, mate. Very well. Coming to you from the coolest city in the world. Well, actually in Australia. The coolest city in Australia. As per the Wall Street Journal article came out, was it yesterday or the day before? So, Adelaide voted, or they said that's we were the coolest city in Australia.
Yeah, you're the coolest. Yeah, you are. Okay. I don't know. Look, coming up this week, I'm just off the back of 3 days of the IMARC, whatever it's called, mining conference over at the International Convention Center. It's been exhausting being in and out of that. Met some amazing companies, saw some amazing stories. It's good to be back on the coalface talking to actual mining companies about this story and hearing the stories and hearing what they've got and where they've got it and just being sort of, you know, sleeves up looking at rock samples and all sorts of amazing, you know, it's just sort of back into it. I've been so distant from that for so many years now, and it's just sort of getting back into the thick of it. It's fantastic. So that's what I've done. I've got a couple of stories on that. We've got Bank of Japan didn't do some stuff. The Fed also didn't do some stuff. Heath with his market wrap. Mate, do you want to go? Look, I'm going to lead this one off with Colgo just posted something, co-host of the show, and I'm just going to bring it up onto the screen. This is hilarious. That's me. That's my introduction. Congratulations. Just a note, everything that you hear here is general in nature. All the advice is general in nature. We are sponsored by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. And if you want access to India, any mutual fund around the world, including in India, then go to amfex.com and they can sort you out. WA Camel Milk Producer eyes IPO following $4.4 million government grant. Our rate's not high enough. Do we have to keep on, how many times do we have to tell you?
What point of the cycle are we at when this sort of thing comes out? You would have expected this in 2020, 2021, not 23. But
Camels here. Another 50 basis points will get us onto the dog's milk, mate. That's how we're struggling out here. What more do you want? Who's going to back that?
There's a stat for you. There's over a million camels, wild camels, in the center of Australia. Over a million. It's bloody phenomenal how many there are.
They teach you that in the fancy South Australian schools that you go to?
Yeah. The cool ones. Okay. Only the cool ones.
Yeah, the cool schools, man. That's right. That's it. Cool schools. Okay, look, we'll get back around to that. Mate, do you want to do your market wrap? Let's see some stats. The stats that matter. Here's Heath Moss with the market wrap. Go.
Beautiful. Bring up a chart. Oh, excellent. I didn't even have an ask. You're on the buttons early today. Fantastic. Yeah. Better and better. All right. Beautiful. All right, what a week.
Let's go.
What a week. It's not been nothing but good since we last spoke last Thursday. The S&P 500, which is up on your screens, up almost 3%. The NASDAQ is up 3.4% for the week so far. The ASX 200 trailing is up 0.7%. That's the XJO now. But I don't think that included today, or all of today anyway, because we're up 1.3% at the moment as we speak on the back of those US moves last night. So basically, what's driven us this week, we've seen yields tumble. And now that was on the back of, I'll bring up the 10-year, and you can see the big move there, big candle down last night, down 17 basis points. Now that was on the back of, I think, some soft macro data in the US. You had ADP employment numbers missed, came in well below. You had mortgage applications lower than expected. And the ISM Manufacturing's PMI survey came in much lower than expected. Where are we? I'm just grabbing the actual number. So the PMI number came in at 46.7 versus 49 last month. Now, that's manufacturing, so it only accounts for about 12% of the U.S. economy. So it's not huge. But what also came in was new orders were at 45.5 on the survey, also down heavily. Now, that's the lowest it's been since June. So we had that period from probably April, May to July where data started coming really, really soft in the U.S., and that's come back down into that territory. So maybe the market is now starting to see some cracks and some real slowing in the economy. And that's why we saw basis points, the 10 years down so many basis points last night. And then, we had the Fed come out last night as well. And they held as expected. I think there was no surprises there. And in the speech, there was no real surprise either. It was slightly hawkish, same sort of tone. We'll leave them higher for longer sort of tone. You know, there may be more work to be done. But they did acknowledge that higher yields in the markets were doing a lot of the work for them. So maybe the market, you know, jumped on the back of that and also thought, well, maybe this is it. They're on pause for an extended amount of time now. So that was basically what's it and what happened in the markets overnight over in the US or in the last week.
Yeah. This I got a tweet here from David Scott, friend of the show, pseudo-regular guest. US benchmark real yields down a whopping 20 basis points in 24 hours. 20 basis points in 24 hours is a lot when you're talking about yields.
It's huge.
For like the biggest economy in the world. Another big rejection above 2.5%, making that 2.5% real yields. Isn't that great? Making that six rejections in a row. Nice old Dave getting the old technicals out. Still elevated, but cases building for the highs being in. Are the highs in for real yields, Heath Moss?
Yeah, I think they are, or if not close to it. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they had another crack at 5%. On the 10 years, we got some hot macro data again, because December is still in play, even though the odds of a rate rise last night came off for December, it's still in play. But you got the feeling, they're feeling peakish, and commentary around the market, you're talking about people, you know, chatting about, you know, another 100 or 150 basis points to go on top of where we are now, which seems a little bit far-fetched. I think things would break, something serious would break before that happened. And the US dollar, I mean, the US dollar is holding up quite well here, but that's probably more on the back of the bond issuance that's happening towards the end of the year. And actually, I saw a really good stat that in 2024, US government bond issuance will be 20% higher per month than it is this year, just to cover their rollovers and spending, et cetera. So, this is not over. We've still got a long way to go there. But feeling peakish.
But yeah, it is feeling peakish. So the thing is that, I mean, that's now known, right? The issuance thing is known. It's a known factor. The reason why this podcast is called The Theory of Thing, it's now a thing. It's now known. It's been absorbed. It's been priced. Things will behave according to plan from this stage on. So there's no shock factor that's involved. Once things get priced, they can get discounted. And then usually things can get bought after that. That's the very basic premise upon which I sustained my life on these things back in the days when I used to actually advise people and actually look at the markets. It's different. It's a whole different schedule. And I'm like, oh, my God. Try running a place. This is crazy.
I bet it is.
I don't know. I've got performance review. What's me doing a performance review?
Who's doing a performance review?
Me.
You are? Who?
Yes. I have
staff. Another bit, of course.
It's great. I like them. They're really good.
How do you do a performance review on someone you've just met?
It's just, you know, I don't know. Showed up on time. You're wearing a shirt and shoes. It's a low bench, but no, but seriously, and I know that they will be listening to that. It's amazing stuff that I've walked into here. But that was just sort of one of the things. And I do. I know. I mean, you can review people. I'm a fantastic manager. I've got a degree in this, remember? My HR degree. Beautiful. Not economics, as people have pointed out to me many times. Okay, what are we up to?
Let's get into BOJ,
Bank of Japan.
BOJ, Bank of Japan. Yep. Hey, what I'll do is I'll bring up, if I can find it,
yen.
US Den.
The Nikkei?
Oh, I don't think I've done that right.
Just an update. While you pull that up and give people an update, the last few weeks, and this is based on what who are those other guys? BlackRock. BlackRock were, Ben Powell was pontificating that on the Halloween Bank of Japan meeting, which was 2 days ago, that they would, so Monday, the 31st of October, that the Bank of Japan would abandon or talk about abandoning their yield curve control. It would cause yields to pop and sort of just be an absolute declaration that a little bit higher inflation was now embedded and that you're going to see a whole heap of Japanese savings go, which is the equivalent of $7 trillion US, go into the market to try and pick that up, because that's what happens when inflation is persistently high and yields sort of just get loose. So it was like this ultimate amazing bear case, bull case for Japan. And the Bank of Japan came out and sort of didn't really do that much. They said they were going to sort of, was like a sort of a half-hearted little tweak of at the top end.
Yeah. It was half and half. They sort of, they abandoned the hard cap on the 1% on the yield curve control and just said basically it's a reference point, and they wouldn't be buying, there wouldn't be a hard fast rule. They'd be buying bond yields at 1% anymore, and it just allowing themselves more flexibility. But you're right, they sort of went half in, half out. The chart I've got on screen is US dollar, yen, which everyone references, and we saw that the US dollar popped to upside, almost touching 152 there, which means the yen came down. And I think I said
that's how FX works. Very good. Yes.
Yeah, but I think I said it last week. It's actually a net positive for earnings over in Japan, because so many Japanese companies on the Nikkei are exporters. A lower yen actually does them very well when converting back into Japanese yen from US dollars.
So, if you pulled up Sony, what would happen if you pulled up Sony?
Let me have a look at Sony. I think Sony reported during the week.
This will tell us. There we go. Okay, there you go. Little pop,
but I mean, Sony did report during the week, and obviously big market is gaining.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Gaming in PlayStation. That console is, what, 3, almost 4 years old now. So, you know, sales and hardware for the PlayStation units will be declining as per the normal cycle. So that's probably why the stock is well off its highs there, as you can see. But, I'll see if I can bring up the 10-year yield on the Japanese yen. Japan 10 years
is a challenge for you.
Here we go. There we go. Found it. Beautiful. So you can see there it popped up to about 9.97%. It's come back down to about 0.92, probably fills that gap back to about 90. But it was already, you know, close to that 1% mark. The market had factored in most of that. I think one big takeaway you can take from what the BOJ said was, you know, if yields get too much out of control, then they would, you know, revise and review their policy, so they would step in. So I don't think yields are going to go gangbusters on the 10-year in Japan, simply because, you know, the market knows that, you know, if anything happens, then they'd probably put the hard cap on that 1% again and bring them back down. But they are much more hawkish, and they have revised their inflation expectations up as well.
It was more, I'm going to take my tie off, ladies and gentlemen. This is a big innovative moment. I'm cooked, absolutely spent. it is a lesson. The Bank of Japan thing was a lesson in why you don't take you know, unless you're one of those risky bettors, why you don't take big swings on a binary event like that. And even it was actually questioned how much the market would rally or how much bonds would, or how much yields would spike if yield curve control was abandoned. A lot of it had sort of half been priced in based on the chat that was going around. BlackRock's thesis is still sound that if inflation is actually, you know, pesky, that mm-hmm. money will plow into it. I'm still happy to buy Japan if I was going to be doing that. I'm just joined by, oh, hello. How you going? I've just got a visitor coming in. Come and say hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you now? That's our light and sound producer. Yes. This is Amit, who's, what are you, Mark?
How you going?
Yeah.
One word captures it all.
Yeah. Just part of the team. Feel free to do whatever you need to do.
Thank you so much. I'm just going to grab it all now.
No problem. I'm going to keep on talking about gibberish.
Beautiful. Go for it.
Okay. So we did a recording called The Athlete's Journey earlier in the week. It was yesterday. Myself and Robbie Farrar, who's the ambassador for Barclays, who's one of the greats of NRL, talking about our journeys and our careers. His career in athletics, his athletic career is a little bit more significant than mine. You know, my two national gold medals in the plus 40 speed skipping, and his 16 years playing, you know, the highest grade of football you can imagine, and coaching and playing for his country as well. A little bit different, but just talking about finances and where you need to be planning and what you need to be doing, and the young people and how much they're making, and what sort of advice you're giving to the young players now, and how to keep them on a straight and level. It was a good podcast. He's a good guy.
Fantastic.
Quite probably. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. We need an AFL name, actually.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, actually. Yeah, represent our southern states. Yes. Well, should we move on to earnings?
Yes, go earnings. You've got it now. Over to Heath Moss for the earnings report.
Well, we've got AMD. We'll start with AMD. There's only a couple we'll cover. You can see a nice pop there from yesterday on the back of AMD earnings. So basically, they beat market as per most tech companies are beating market at the moment. EPS came in at 70 cents per share versus 68 expected. Revenue 5.8 versus 5.7 bill. Data center GPU revenue was flat. Revenue to data center overall was flat, which is surprising. And I think initially the market came off on the back of that, but obviously recovered that. They talked about their new AI chip.
Tell us about the chip. Tell us the price, Sam.
Yeah. What? Yeah, so basically their new GPU, their AI chip for data centers, they expect that to hit 2 billion in 2024 and 400 million in Q4. Now, remember, AMD, whilst is the second biggest player, only has about 12 or 13% of the market. That's how much NVIDIA dominates. I think they've got about 84, 85%, and then the other companies have about 2 or 3%. So, they are relatively small, even though they are a second player, second in the market. Gaming revenue was down about 8%. Again, these guys supply all the chips to Xbox and Sony PlayStations, and again, where they are at the cycle, that is not surprising at all. So that was AMD, and sort of you could remember too, Biden's brought in those new rules that are coming in immediately for and will affect NVIDIA, AMD, Intel, and micro devices. I think their current chips that they used to circumvent last year's rules are being banned as well from sale in China. So they'll have to come up with a whole heap of new chips again to circumvent those rules, get it around again. Okay. But Apple's tonight, and so is Eli Lilly, and they have those GLP-1 weight loss drugs. So they're the things sort of causing the healthcare sector, other stocks in the healthcare sector to peel off this year. Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk, I think it was, they reported early in the week, and it's a phenomenal report. All eyes will be on them. Yeah, those two combined, I think, have $1 trillion market cap now. Eli Lilly and Novo.
I've said this before, that Novo's market cap is bigger than the GDP of the country in which they exist. So it's Denmark, I believe.
That's a bugbear of mine when people compare earnings and market caps, et cetera, to GDP.
Well, it's just a way of saying, like, if you're looking at the economy of... If you look at the economy of Denmark, you have to take Novo out to see how everything else is doing. It's Denmark. Yeah. It is Danish, yeah.
So
it's extraordinary. It's just got crazy.
The other one I wanted to cover was McDonald's, because they actually said a couple of things. Actually, can I bring up a chart?
Go the other side of the coin here. Go up to the weight loss.
No, that's not McDonald's. I don't think that's the right chart. But anyway, McDonald's came out with actually bumper report. Again, beat all metrics, EPS 319 versus 3 expected, revenue 6.7 versus 6.6. Revenue up 14% for the quarter, same-store sales up 8.8%. They said prices were to be up 10% for 2023 overall, but actually came down in Q3. So it's surprising to see a bit of deflation there in McDonald's. They also said customers who are earning $45,000 or less are spending less in store. So we're starting to see those cracks in the US economy where, you know, the lower income thresholds are suffering quite a bit more than middle and higher income. They're still saying
higher income don't buy McDonald's either. So that's something.
Well, the higher income brackets, they're saying for them are spending more, but the lower incomes, they're watching.
Back to stockbroker school. Yeah, sorry, I got you. There's something that happens with the thing that we'd use. So remember last week I said that the margin squeeze that's happening on the cheap sales companies like your dollar stores means that they can't raise prices. McDonald's, although it is technically a cheap food provider, they have extraordinary pricing power. So that's where the margin thing doesn't affect them. So this is sort of part of the education which I'm meant to be doing to take you through the journey of just because they're cheap doesn't mean they don't have pricing power and doesn't mean they can protect their margins. Remember, margins are everything. There's a lesson for the day. Thank you very much.
One more thing.
They did say
in 2024 that prices will be higher because they're having to pay their workers $20 an hour now. So wage inflation is still impacting overall inflation there.
Or replace them with robots.
Hmm.
I look forward to it. People shouldn't be working at McDonald's. It's ridiculous. Go and get a go. It's not a satisfying career. It's for kids. Beautiful. Anyway, that's what happens when you raise the minimum wage. Kids don't get those jobs anymore because it's actually now adults start to go. Anyway, we can get it back. Moving on.
All right. I think that's basically it for the week. I think we can move on to footy bets.
Mate, congratulations to Dank Trader 2000, one of our biggest fans. Huge, the nod of all nods out there to him. Dank Trader 2000? It is Dank Trader 4000, sorry. Wow, he's up to himself. 4000. He's an absolute legend. He got those two tips that I read out. He sent me three. I read two out. They both came in. It was sensational. And now it's just like, mate, as an allocator does, he sent me three tips. I picked out the two ones that I thought was going to happen. They both came in. He's smart, I'm smart, it's fantastic. That's classic portfolio management 101. And now I need him for more tips, and he's disappeared off the radar. But thank you very much for that, Dank Trader 4000. Now, my tip this week is going to be tomorrow in the Thursday night football in the NFL, and I like the Titans. Take the Titans over the Steelers at $2.19. Outright, go nuts.
Beautiful.
So go nuts. What have you got?
Mine from last week came in by half a point. So beautiful. I'll take it. I had the Eagles covering the spread.
The rest is for ego, mate.
Yep. So the this week I've got the Saints covering the spread at 8.5 versus the Bears at home, paying $1.91. Bears look terrible at the moment.
The Saints don't look too bad either. They're good. My team. Yeah. That's it for today. Last bids, Heath.
I'm all done, mate. My daughter turns one tomorrow, so even though she won't listen to the show, it's a happy birthday to Olivia.
Yeah,
we'll celebrate that tomorrow.
You're a good dad, Heath, mate. It's absolute legendary. Mate, that's all we've got. I'm absolutely cooked. I've got more things to do because this job is really hard, but I'm quite good at it, and we're doing amazing things. We are sponsored by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange, providing mutual funds to anywhere in the world. You know where to look it up, ampex.com. That's it, mate. Anything else, go for it. Otherwise, I'm switching it off. See ya.
No, catch you next week.
Have a good one, guys. Bye.